step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
This is Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice, where I, Bill Handle, tell you, insert name here, you have absolutely no case. Boy, here is an interesting one regarding gun rights. As you probably know, the Supreme Court, as it is comprised now, is very pro-Second Amendment and is expanding the rights of individuals to carry weapons. And what happened in Atlanta, it's an open carry state in which you can't, on public land, even if it's a private organization, cannot stop people from carrying guns because of a Second Amendment right issue. And so here you have, in this case, Live Nation, which is a private organization, putting on various concerts. It's the biggest concert promoter in the country. And every year in Atlanta, Georgia, there's something called Music Midtown. It's huge. It is a hip-hop festival, and tens of thousands of people show up. It's a big deal. Generates a lot of money for the city. Well, since the city leases the land, Live Nation leases the land from the city of Atlanta during this concert, it happens all the time. For example, here in Los Angeles, you have the fairgrounds, which are owned by LA County. So private people come in, they lease the property for various shows, et cetera. Well, if we had the same law in Georgia, here in California, which we're never going to do because California probably has the strictest gun laws in the country, and it was you can't stop people from carrying weapons on public land, what do you do? You cancel the concerts. You can't afford not to. I mean, you have people, I don't know if you've ever been to a county fair, for example. And you have people that are buying beer at those stands, and it's not like you're going to a single bar where the bartender says, you've been drinking enough. I mean, you're going from, booth to booth and kiosk to kiosk, and you can get plastered. And I'm not going to say that at hip-hop festivals, people are going to get more drunk than, let's say, at an Oktoberfest, but let's just say people going to these various events get plastered. And if you have folks that are carrying weapons around, there's real concern. And so Live Nation was saying, with no restrictions on guns, we're just canceling. Looking at potentially astronomical liability exposure. We just can't do it. And there are going to be other festivals that are going to shut down, too, and wait till the first festival is, in fact, promoted there and someone is killed. Man, that liability is going to be astronomical. You didn't have enough security, and it doesn't matter. You defend. It's an open carry state. It's an open carry county. We can't stop people from bringing weapons. Well, you should have had better security. You should have had security officers there. You should have had video. You should have had big signs say you're on video every 3 feet. It doesn't matter whatever the reason is. The point is that it's you can't afford it. And this is going to happen all over Georgia. And it's going to happen across states that are open carry where you can. And incidentally, it's not constitutionally protected. The Supreme Court never said that a county can't say you are not allowed to carry a gun in a church or in various facilities, in a school. You can pass those laws all day long. So Yep. It's, you know, there's always unintended consequences, always, no matter what's done. All right. Enough of that. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls here, starting with Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, or not. What can I do for you?
Okay. So my mom died a couple months ago, and there's four of us, you know, adult kids. And she owned a mobile home in Central California at the coast, valued at approximately $400,000. But she doesn't own the land because it's in a senior park. My sister's been paying the space monthly fees so she can use the mobile home because it's in a good area. I just don't know. Are we supposed to open probate?
You have to open probate. Your sister would normally be able to say, hey, I'm paying for this, so therefore I'm entitled to reimbursement when we sell the mobile home. But she's been living there.
Yeah.
She has to pay rent anyway. So how much is she paying for land rent?
It's like $300.
Oh, she's way ahead of it. Okay. So she's way ahead of the game.
She owns many of her own homes.
Okay,
so she
uses
it as like a little bug out.
Yeah, which is fine. You know? So she's paying only $300 a month. Even if she were paying $1,500 a month, it's not as if she has a claim to get that money reimbursed. Yeah, you have to open a probate. And you're going to have to sell the thing. And whoever buys it is either going to stay there in the mobile home park or pick it up and move it. And that's what, $5,000 or $8,000? I have no idea what it costs.
I don't think so. It's on a forest. It's in a great location.
Oh, then you just stay there. Then you just keep it there. Yeah. You can rent it. You can keep it as a home. But all the siblings are going to own it equally. Unless you have one of them saying, I want to sell it and I want the money, and then can force the sale. But I think it's going to happen. Pardon?
I think that will happen because it's 4 hours away from where we all live.
Okay. Well, then you sell it. That's all. And you split the money. You're going to need a probate lawyer. You are going to have to open probate for a $400,000 estate, and that's what your mom left. All right, so that's easy. You know, just get a probate lawyer. You bet. David. Hello, David.
The July 28th, 2020, I was life-flighted to a local hospital from where I live with a peritoneal dialysis infection. My organs are shutting down. After being in the hospital, getting tested, every test under the moon being done to me, and me starting with telling the doctor, just please call my primary caregiver, get me to surgery. I know what's wrong. I know what's going on. This doctor argued with me, said, no, after all of our tests, we need to jumpstart your heart. Your heart's out of rhythm. Four different times within 15 minutes, I begged and pleaded with them not to do this. They hooked up cables to my feet. First time they hit the switch, didn't work. Second time they hit the cable, both of my legs flew off the table, lightning bolts come out of it. My right hand flew to the right corner with lightning bolts. Fast forward 8 months of being in rehab, losing a left leg, a right foot, and fingers off my right hand. The only places where that electrocution had done damage to my body, those are the parts that I lost. Contacted an attorney. We filled out documents to get paperwork for the medical record. No reply back after 3 months. I then went to my doctor, my primary caregiver, and requested them, my primary caregiver, to ask for records for what had happened to me. Not once but twice received a fax document from the hospital. There are no medical records available for this person at this time. After battle and battle and battle of trying to get these records, finally I get a set of records. It's 10 boxes filled with papers. And now, because of the statute of limitations had run out, and a week before that, the attorney that I had representing me, who I thought was representing me, sends me a letter strongly saying that if you decide to contact another attorney, you must advise them that the statute of limitations has run out on this or will run out on this in less than 5 days. It just leads me to believe because of one, I didn't get the documents that I requested, which was the main documents of the nurse's records for that night, one. Number two is They forcefully would not file any paperwork, even providing the paperwork from my primary caregiver that they said that there was no documents. And three, I've not received one medical bill from this hospital since my stay there and or the rehab. What do I do?
I'm still at the lightning strike that zapped your feet. Boy, yeah. That must have been entertaining as hell. Now, if you're past,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, now if you're past the statute, you're past the statute. But it sounds like both medical malpractice, legal malpractice, damages are unbelievable. What? No leg, no fingers. You know, how do you hitchhike now with no fingers?
Right.
You know, and how do you like pleasure yourself without fingers? It's very difficult. You know, it's just you need your fingers for life. You know, you need your opposable
right.
thumb, and otherwise, you know, going to the bathroom. It's just a mess. So you've got to talk to a medical malpractice attorney. You know what you have to do? Go to handleonthelaw.com, and you'll probably talk to a guy named Mark, and he'll go through it with you and make sure we talked. Push the lightning. That's very strong, because that's going to get him very excited. The lightning. Also, let me ask you. You said no when they you didn't want this device strapped to your foot. Why'd you let him do it as opposed to screaming and ranting?
I did. That's why they're in that room. That's why I want the nurses' records for that day.
Nurses, I don't know if nurses keep records as part of the file. Maybe they do.
They do. They have the nurses' floor records.
All right.
I was advised by my primary. They do.
Okay. That I don't know. All right. Go.
She was the one that said there is no way that this didn't happen. You know, I mean, they're trying to like push this off.
David, go to handleonthelaw.com. Okay.
All right. That's
what you want to do, because I'm sure they're going to love this story. Paul, you're up. Let's take your call.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
Listen, I'm a landlord, and I have this question. I have gone through the pandemic and the nobody pays rent and try to understand, and I'm at $40,000 on a tenant, and I don't know. Is there something new? I don't know.
No.
But.
Where is the property? What city?
Los Angeles.
Oh, you're screwed beyond screwed, Paul. First of all, I think it's LA County or the state. You can't evict people for non-payment of rent until the end of next year. Now, at the end of next year, of course, you'll have a judgment. They're going to owe you $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. But, Paul, they're not going to be able to pay. And all they have to do is file bankruptcy on you, which you're going to see bankruptcies explode at the end of the moratorium. Now, there were government programs. I think they've expired where you could get money to help landlords. Did you ever apply for those?
I did apply for it a year ago. They gave $17,000, and now we're in a 2-year mark.
Yeah.
No payment.
Yeah. They didn't even pay you the $17,000?
They paid the $17,000,
okay.
And then that was the end of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're screwed. This is a state that loves tenants, and I know it's God, you know, there's just no easy way to get out of this. This pandemic has just nailed it's nailed business owners, except some business owners did great. It has nailed employees who actually did better during the pandemic, because not only were they getting unemployment, they were also getting federal supplement dollars and state supplement dollars. So there were people out there that were earning $40,000 a year while they're working, getting $50,000 a year. So landlords, they just got completely screwed. That's it. Alan, hello, Alan, welcome. Alan, let me do this, because I want to give you enough time to go ahead and move forward. Let me put you on hold, and we'll come right back after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right, yeah, because otherwise I have to rush him and hang up on him, and even though I like doing that, sometimes it's just not fair. Now, there is news that just broke about a data breach at Twitter. And according to the reports that have been released, the phone numbers and email addresses of over 5 million Twitter accounts were put up for sale on the dark web. And when your information goes on the dark web, guess what? It's real easy for those cyber thieves to steal your identity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting all of our lives. And when these guys grab your identity, boy, are you screwed. And so what do you do to protect yourself? Well, let me suggest LifeLock by Norton. And I've been around a long time as a customer. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not even spot or even know that are out there, like crimes being committed by thieves pretending to be you, getting property, IRS returns. And if you do become a victim of identity theft, they'll help you out. A dedicated person at Norton will help you to fix that problem. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor every transaction at every business. But LifeLock, that's protection. LifeLock, identity theft protection. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE. Visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. That's 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. All right, Alan, let's go back, and now you have some time.
Hi, Bill. I got a 23-year-old kid living in New York on my insurance policy. She gets a vitamin pill stuck in her throat, and after several hours, it's painful. She gets a little scared. She goes to the ER instead of calling me, of course. They give her a can of ginger ale to chug, and it relieves the problem. I guess in New York, they have this thing called no surprise billing, so they give her this estimate of $1,600. So when I get home, when she gets home, she calls me, says, it's going to be expensive, Dad. So I just said, why the hell did you go to the ER? Why didn't you call me? But anyway.
Because she was choking to death, Alan. That's why she didn't call you.
So I kind of felt, oh, shit, man, a $1,600 can of ginger ale. But anyway, so the story gets better. The insurance, the hospital bills the insurance company $2,200. And then the insurance company decides, it's Blue Shield, they decide that the visit's worth more than that, and they deem the visit worth $3,500.
Okay. Which, how much did you have to pay? What was your copay?
They paid $1,200. We're on the hook for $2,200.
No, you're not.
I called the hospital, and they said, come on, really?
Yeah, they're crazy. Hospital's crazy. I'm surprised they didn't charge $100,000. Clearly. I'm surprised that the insurance company is willing to pay that much money, as opposed to the insurance company saying, you're out of your mind. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $300 because it's an ER visit. If you don't like it, we're going to go ahead and take legal action against you. That's predatory practices. And in the city of New York, they get pretty aggressive. You are not going to pay $2,200 copay for a can of ginger ale, although maybe it's a really good can. How big was the vitamin pill?
It was like a vitamin C pill.
It wasn't huge.
Big, but not that big.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. But now the quality of the ginger ale, that there's thousands of dollars you can play with that one, I understand. You know what? It's just total predatory practices. And if the hospital, if the insurance company wants to pay him $15,000, that's their business. Matter of fact, I'd call the insurance company and go, why don't you pay him $50,000? Yeah, great. We're not paying a copay. We'll pay the 20% copay due on a reasonable basis. Let's go to work. And start screaming. You want to talk to the insurance commissioner? And we're talking about New York. Make a complaint with the insurance commissioner. Tell him to go to court. Say, if you ding me on my credit, I'm going to sue you because you guys want $2,000 more than what the insurance company wants to pay you. And that is predatory. So you take whatever regulatory agency.
So I go to the insurance commissioner of New York.
Oh, yeah.
My next step.
Yeah, because the insurance company wants you to pay $2,200 as a copay.
Okay.
That's the insurance company. Right. And then report everybody. You want to report the regulatory agency that controls hospitals. I mean, this is so ludicrous. It's not even an argument. You know, it's literally it would be like they say we want $100,000 for an emergency room visit where we gave you a can of ginger ale. And you now have to pay the 20% copay of $20,000. It's just as stupid. So,
right.
I mean, that's crazy. And tell your daughter, don't ever go to an emergency room again. It doesn't matter if you're bleeding out. You're better off dying, as far as I'm concerned. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. You got it. I wouldn't pay it. Matter of fact, if I knew up front, if the hospital called me saying, if you don't pay $1,600, your daughter's going to die, I'm going to go, well, you know, I mean, it's going to hurt, but I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the dying. That's a tough one. But, you know, I mean, life goes on, or not in her case, but it will. Laura. Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Yeah. I have a will, and we have my husband and I have three children. We're being harassed that, oh, dear, now you need a living trust. We only sold you a will.
Yeah, hold on a minute. We only sold you a will. Who is harassing you?
The lawyer. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say harassing, but just my husband feels like, oh, now he just wants to, he just needs more money.
Could be.
Well, I've heard your show enough that I've heard the word living trust enough that makes it sound like it's maybe we do, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, what are you leaving? What are you leaving the kids?
Three houses that are paid off.
Okay. And?
Oh, yeah, we have cash.
Okay. So
maybe,
it's all
maybe
okay.
By the time we,
all right.
Maybe by the time we go, we won't have as much as we have now.
Yeah, you want to spend as much money as you can, Laura. You know, it's I'm trying to do a timeline for me that I die the day I run out of money. I'm going to be a happy camper because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if I have money. I'm going to be on my deathbed. And my kids, God bless them, who love me beyond anything, are going to be, as they're around me as I'm dying, are going to be tapping on their watches saying, come on, let's speed this up, okay? We've got things to do. So you want to spend as much money. excuse me. It sometimes makes sense to do a trust, but if the lawyer should have said you need a trust and a rollover. Also it turns into a will. The trust is where you put things like money, like real estate, and then the will covers everything else, personal property, grandma's furniture, that sort of thing. But, you know, the mm-hmm. will works, Laura. Someone will, you know, you name an executor. Are the kids going to be arguing with each other over anything, or are they all pretty good about it?
I think that they'll all be human.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're fine with a will. And if nothing else, you know, call a trust and estate lawyer, an honest one, and you can look. You know, it's easy to find, like do a Google search and just say, just put in honest trust and estate lawyer, and they'll say, there are no matches.
Here's another theory. The amount of money that it's going to cost to put together a living trust.
A couple $1,000s.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that much.
And then whatever, if the hassle that no living trust exists might cost them a little more money, well, we're leaving them enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what do you care? And the court oversees it. The court does not oversee a trust. The court oversees the probate. Now, there are going to be probate fees. All right.
Okay,
I mean,
well,
there's no question. It may end up costing. How much, if you put it all together, Laura, how much money are we talking about? All the money, bank accounts, properties, throw it all together.
Oh, a couple million.
Okay. So you'd probably pay 30, 40 grand in probate fees if it all goes into a will. All right. That's where
what
the money
exactly,
is.
What exactly does probate mean?
Probate means you're opening up a legal you're opening up a legal case that controls where your property goes upon your death. In other words, it's going to follow what you want. It's going to follow your instructions. And if it's leaving it to the kids, that, and the same thing with the trust. Here's the advantage of a probate, a will. It's overseen by the court, and the court has to okay everything. So there's a lot of control. With a trust, there's no hassle. The kids get everything immediately. So more control, you pay more for it. But if you're leaving them if you're leaving them a couple million dollars, Laura, I love people that go there. I want to make it easy for my kids. They're getting the money anyway. Leave me alone.
Right.
How about
this
with the kids? If I go to your kids and go, hey, guys, how about this? Are you willing to invest $40,000 for a couple of million? And you don't even have to pay it up front. Any problem with that? What do you think they're going to say? Of course. And a lot of people, and the trust happens very quickly. You can change a trust, and it's more of a hassle changing a will, and the trust is distributed very, very quickly. So, you know, depends on how you feel about it. Ron, hello, Ron.
My friend was offered and accepted a position with a new employer, which would have increased her hourly salary from $16 to $26 an hour. Based on this information, she turned in a 2 weeks notice to her current employer. There was a rescinding of this notice 3 days before she was scheduled to start her new employer. She is now unemployed, and due to change of goal director, the company sent her a letter saying that's why they rescinded the order.
Okay. Well, there's a lawsuit there. There is definitely a lawsuit against the company because what legally is happening, there's a cause of action known as detrimental reliance. That's the cause of action here. She's been injured, and it's a breach of contract, and it's a detrimental reliance issue because she relied on them to her detriment. So it is that's doable. And there is a lawsuit. Don't know what the damages are, but it's time to talk to an employment discrimination attorney. These people specialize in various causes of action against employers. And there's a cause of action against this one, Ron, because this happens and they can go ahead and say, oops, it doesn't matter. But oops doesn't matter doesn't mean that your friend wasn't damaged. So it's definitely an employment lawyer. I told you I go through these fairly quickly. Here we go. Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I'm involved in a probate matter, and my cousin is the executor of the estate, and he's also turned out to be the realtor that sold the property that's in probate, and we're wondering as a family if he has right to collect on both the fees for the estate, executor, and also as a realtor.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's obviously a conflict there, but not much of one. He can do, actually, I don't even think there is a conflict. Now, there's a problem if he sells the property and buys the property for someone. Let's say he represents both the seller. He is both the executor, the real estate agent who represents the property, and the buyer at the same time. Let's say he does a triple hit. He does a hat trick. As long as it is reasonable, he's allowed to do it. What he can't do is sell it for less than market price, buy it for less than market price. And in terms of he can't make additional money or help someone else make money that isn't reasonable under the circumstances. But Jim, if he's getting what any other realtor would get within reason, yeah, he can do it. And what do you care about? And that doesn't matter as long as you're not getting screwed. Now, if you're getting screwed, he's got some issues because there's nothing independent about his relationship, if that makes sense. So I think it's okay. Joe. Hello, Joe. Welcome. What can I do for you?
Good morning. A couple of days ago, I had a slip and fall at one of the supermarkets. I don't want to give the name. The floor was wet, and they didn't have any signs or anything, you know. And I was wondering, I'm in pain right now. I have my rib cage, my shoulder.
Okay. Have you gone, Joe, have you gone to the doctor?
No.
Okay, well, you first have to go to the doctor. You got to find out what's wrong with you. If you just hurt for a few days, there's nothing there. Now, if there is some kind of injury, let's say you cracked a rib, and there's an objective injury other than, oh, my God, I hurt. Oy, am I hurting? You know, that is, you know, a doctor's going to go, here, you know, take some pain pills, take a Tylenol, leave me alone. So first of all, you have to go to the doctor and find out if there's anything there. If there is something there, then you want to contact a personal injury lawyer, like, immediately. Because it has to be investigated. When you say there's water on the floor, did anybody write it up? Did the manager come over? Did you take pictures of the wet floor by any chance?
Yeah, the manager came, took a picture, and I had a big bump on my knee.
Okay, that helps. You got to find out what that big bump is about. But the bottom line is, did you take pictures? Did you immemorialize any of it?
No, because they came and cleaned it right away, and I was,
okay,
saying,
all right.
I was sitting outside.
Okay, all right. Now, you didn't.
Were
you
able to have a camera and everything?
All right. Were you able to drive home?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to find out if there's anything wrong with you, and if there is, you contact a personal injury lawyer. But it sounds like there's not a whole lot wrong with you. Rick. Hi, Rick. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hey, Bill. I received a letter in the mail for a class action lawsuit, and the amount they were offering seemed a little high. It wasn't a coupon or 10 cents. It was $250, and I was wondering if I should opt out and get a lawyer for myself.
Okay, so let me ask you, what is it that you're getting $250 for?
Well, it was for a health program that you had to follow with our company's health service, and it was like a mandatory thing where you had to do it.
How much did it Rick, how much did it cost you if it was money that you lost?
Well, I didn't lose any money because I participated in it.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's I think you're going to have a hard time finding a lawyer that would file an individual case. But I'd call the lawyers, matter of fact, who are handling it and say, hey, are you taking individual cases on this for people that don't want to join the class? Usually I find, unless there's some real damage there, you know, joining the class makes sense and just take the money. Otherwise, the lawyer has to go through a full trial.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, how much they're going to get.
Yeah, not much, depending on the damages on this. And okay. So you got to find out. You have to do a little research. Usually, I think just joining the class. But if the damages are enough, or if what the defendant did is egregious enough, maybe. All right, I'm going to be taking phone calls off the air. I mean, I'm wrapping up on the show now. But, Hank, for those of you that are on hold, don't go away. Don't go away. I'll get to you off the air, and I'll start in just a minute. And if you want to call, feel free to call. During the course of the next show, you can listen to Leo through the phone, and you can call me, and, you know, within, I got a couple lines open. You can call now, 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.